Fighters today. I'm joined by John Jacob. He is the founder of Hoist. They're kind of an all-in-one back-end business in a box system for those that are just starting out their companies or those who are doing under $500,000 a year in revenue. We have some good conversations about lessons he learned running and selling his multi-generational pest control business and what got him into the whole thing he's doing now with Hoist. So without further ado, here's John Jacob. John, welcome to the fight. How are you doing today, man?
I'm doing great. I'm excited to talk to you.
Talking to me from sunny Ventura, California, I hear.
It's beautiful out here. We are in Colorado. You got it nice like we do.
Yeah, but Mother Nature's a little more psycho out here. I guess, you know, we have the cold, we have the wind, we have the hail, we have fires. Oof. You know, you don't have the cold.
Yeah, that's true. Hail, a little bit more temperate, yeah. Highs are higher and lowers are lower where you're at, yeah.
There you go, man. Well, cool. So tell us a little bit about you before we get into Hoist Up and all that stuff, man.
Sounds good.
Who's John, man?
Yeah, so I grew up in a small family business. My parents owned a pest control business all growing up. So home services is in the blood. And my family was really weird. Me and my two brothers, we all got an LLC for our 13th birthday. So just small business was absolutely in what we were and are as a family. And I didn't immediately go into the small business. I actually went into computers. I was always the nerdy kid interested in computers, coding and design. And it was later in life that my brother asked me to come join him and join the family service business. And I did so, and it was really transformative. So that led me to starting Hoist. And that's who we are now, which is, we're an app and services for people who want to work in home services.
I love it. So growing up in a family pest control business.
Yeah.
What was that like from your perspective now, knowing some of the things you know about businesses? What struggles did you see? What things were done right? I'm just curious from your take on that.
Yeah. We were generational. So my grandfather started it in 62, then my dad took it over. So it's really cool to see that. What was done right is really honoring the business and the legacy and even the customer relationships built. I mean, in pest control, in terms of a service, it's ongoing and we'd have customers for 20, 30 years. And, you know, they knew our family. And I think that piece of excellence and really owning what we do and taking pride in the dirty work of crawling under houses and pulling out dead raccoons, right? It's dirty work, but we took pride in being excellent practitioners. My father always did, which was great. In terms of like what mistakes were made, pricing was probably the number one. When I came in as the punk kid and ran it with my brother, it's one of the first things we fixed and a common mistake. I think the other is just being the limit in his own business. My dad did not delegate well, did not have strong systems. Everything was in his head, and just not having those strong systems really, really held him back. Mm.
So you said you came into the business and fixed the pricing. What did that look like? How did that go over?
When we first laid it out, the first family board meeting, it wasn't a very popular thing coming in, but we looked at pricing that hadn't been touched in 20 plus years. When you think of inflation alone, fuel costs and more, it was insane. And so we had this book of business that was doing just okay because it was being dragged down by a lot of legacy customers that we hadn't yet had the honesty to face and really work with that and go through that painful transition. And so just in practice, it was setting a new price standards and holding true to that price standards without exception. And actually, overwhelmingly, we were able to retain the book of business. Overwhelmingly, of course, I got those phone calls. I remember this one older lady who's like, "Your grandfather stood on my porch and promised he'll never raise my price until I die." And it was hard not to say, like, "Look, lady, my grandfather's been dead 10 years and I can't believe you're not dead yet." Obviously, I didn't do that, but those were hard conversations. And it wasn't easy to come in like the punk kid and do what I did and raise those prices. But it was ultimately the right decision for the health of the business and where we went as a business overall.
Yeah, I think we've talked about this a little bit here. You know, it's easy for a kid or, you know, somebody to come into the business and spot all the things that the other older people have done wrong, right?
Yeah.
And I think anybody could come in. But I think, and I'm just going to say this, not because anything you said, but just for those that are listening. If you're in a situation where you're coming into the family business and you're listening to this show, you're learning about some things that maybe your dad or grandfather or uncle or whoever you're working with might not be familiar with, tread with respect, right? I see a lot of guys coming in with guns a-blazing and it comes across like you're a total fuck up. You've been doing everything wrong. You're not pricing things right. And a lot of younger people fail to know the whole journey that those older generations went through to even keep the business alive, and just understanding that they've done the best they knew to do with the resources they had at the time. It's a much different world now. So that's my big caution. Any other caution, anybody who's coming into that work with the family?
I couldn't agree more with what you said. And just the way that I did it, right? I am being a bit flippant about it now because I'm just trying to get to the meat and potatoes. But ultimately, like every single one of those customers, I called on my own. I wrote handwritten letters to most of them, just describing the journey where we've come from, how we value them. But like, we can't keep doing it, right? We can't keep losing money on the business, even though they've been in such a great spot. So that was a hard thing to balance, which is having a fresh and honest take of your business and really knowing the numbers, honoring that legacy, and yet getting the business to where it needed to be. There's this story, I think it was Texas Instruments, one of those like tech companies in the 80s. And it was the VP and the CEO. I forgot which book this is from, but I think about this all the time. They were looking at their business. They said, you know what? Let's get up. Let's walk out the front door and let's walk back in the front door like we're takeover CEOs. And let's look at this with an honest, real perspective of where we're at. And it's something I even do in my current business, and I encourage contractors to do as well. Really wake up like you're a consultant, walk out the front door, walk in and think, are these numbers really doing what they need to do? What are the things that I'm avoiding? What are the calls that I'm not willing to make? How am I holding the business back? And it's always worth taking a fresh perspective. And obviously doing those things with kindness and respect for the business relationships you have, but you got to be honest with yourself. You got to be honest with your customers on what you can do and what you can price.
Absolutely. I'm big into asking myself like thought provoking questions, you know, and I just kind of camp on them for a period of days sometimes. And, you know, one of the questions I'll ask from time to time is if a new CEO came into our company right now, right? What's the first thing that they would change?
Exactly. Same idea.
Yeah. Same idea. I love that. So I got, a couple things I want to talk about here before we get into Hoist. It's about growing business and hiring people. So you down for that?
Yeah. I'd love to.
Just have some conversation about that. I guess the first is, you know, from your point of view and your take and your experience, what's the number one action a contractor should take to grow their business?
Yeah, I would say know your numbers and know your constraints. So every business is going to be different and have a different constraint. And so understanding where your current constraints lie and having really accurate, honest numbers is really important. So in many cases, right, we work with lots of painting businesses all across the US. Many cases, the limit's the business owner. And oftentimes it's systems and processes that are, they're not scalable, they're not transferable. Everything lives in the owner's head and you can't grow beyond yourself. And so ultimately you become your own bottleneck. But in other cases, right, let's say you've got good systems, you've got a good crew with capacity, then your constraints lead generation. So it's going to be different business to business. But I think the ultimate thing that I'm getting to is know your numbers and know what your constraint is, because it's going to be different, and then start working that constraint.
So for those that aren't, and I don't mean to treat anyone as you know, with disrespect here that's listening to this, but for those who are not familiar in the business sense of the word constraints, know your constraints. What does that mean to you?
Yeah. So imagine you have a factory floor and you've got four machines to build a product. You know, your output is going to be limited by your slowest machine. So if you're making shoes and you have four different machines those shoes have to go through, whatever machine is slowest is going to be a constraint. So what is the one thing that's holding you back? And there's always one that is louder than everything else. And it's easy to feel like you should optimize what's really winning for you, but in many ways, it's the weak link that's holding back the entire system. So let's say you've got tons of crews ready to go and you've got good, strong systems in place, but you've just got no leads coming in. Well, that's the limit in your business right now. It doesn't matter how many more hours your crews put on, you don't have the leads to close to go sell, right? Mm-hmm. So you have to think about for your business what it is. And for us, actually, in our book of business right now, most of our owners are constrained by their crews. They can't seem to hire enough crews. And that seems to be one of the big constraints we've got right now.
Yeah, it's production capacity at that point. Right?
Yep, so, exactly.
Yeah, I'm just thinking, you know, every season of business I've been in and currently here in the fight, you know, our number one constraint, you know, we have great coaching products, great brand, all this other stuff. Our sales system is solid. I can, you know, the way we deliver stuff, we're always working to improve, but it's solid. For us, whenever I seem to ask myself that question, it's just eyeballs, right? Like get more eyeballs.
Yeah.
And I personally believe everything's easier in business when you sell, but you can't sell if you don't have enough at bats.
Yeah.
You don't have enough opportunities and building relationships and stuff. So the number one metric that here in the contractor fight that we measure every single day at 11 a.m., I get a text from our CRM is new email subscribers.
Yeah.
Like that is our number one metric. It's the root of that eyeballs thing, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it makes a ton of sense for where you're all at. That makes tons of sense.
Fighters, ratings and reviews are so important to growing the show. And I'm super grateful for those of you that have given one. Here's why they're important. the more contractors and home improvement service companies that hear the stuff that we're putting out every day of the week, the more people that are exposed to that, the industry gets better across the board. All right. So I want to read a couple of reviews here. I'm super grateful for Catman on June 6th said, "The real deal, Tom and the crew are hands down the most inspiring and genuine thing I've heard and or seen on the internet. I can't say enough good about this outfit. The contractor fight is a game changer for any and every contractor out there. If you're not listening and following the contractor fight, you are leaving money on the table." I could go on. Just check them out. Thanks so much, Catman WW73, for that review. Means a lot, man. Hey, got another review here from Sampleson. "Building myself. As I've come into being a better man, I've learned that I needed help in doing so. Tom has motivated me to be even better. I started listening in 2022 here, and I started by listening to the newer stuff. Of course, the Facebook page, videos, podcasts, and whatever else came my way. After really buying into what he was selling, I started at all the back episodes, one, and right now I think I'm currently on episode 35 or something like that. This man has gold even as far back as 2015. Keep up the great work, Tom. I'll catch up to the newer stuff soon enough." Sampleson, super appreciate you being part of the fight and listening to the show. Guys, super proud. This morning, as the time of me recording this right now for you, I recorded our 619th episode of the Contractor Fight Podcast. How cool is that? So I just want to thank you all for being listeners and sharing this with other contractors and doing your part to raise the bar for everybody. Finally, my big ask, give us a rating, give us a review, because the more people, like I said, that hear this, the better it is for everybody in the industry. You guys rock. I got to roll. So you dipped your toe into the next part of this, which is hiring, right? You know, being a challenge for a lot of people. And so what are some things that you've experienced or you're seeing people do or implement that are helping people navigate this capacity issue with finding talent and all that stuff?
Yeah, absolutely. I think process is important and often neglected when you think about hiring. Strong hiring, interviewing process, and onboarding process, because it's so expensive and frustrating to talk to 20 candidates, finally land on your person, get them skilled up, and a month later they leave you. And so making sure you have really strong processes around hiring, training, and onboarding, it's super important. And I'll actually speak directly to when I was running the pest control business, very different than a business I have now, managing coders and other types of people. But we took bets on more unskilled candidates. So in pest control, you got to have licenses to spray pesticides, especially in the state of California. We would constantly take on people who we hired for a strong work ethic and other more cultural elements that really matched our company we were trying to build. And we invested the time into training and building up those teams instead of just trying to constantly poach. And so we weren't limited by the same way other pest control companies were, just trying to poach other already licensed applicators, right? We were going straight after people who didn't have those skills, showing them how much money they could make, skilling them up, right? There was more risk, but we had amazing retention. At the end of the day, like on a job per job basis, we were paying less. Our employees were happier because they didn't even know they could get into this business. It wasn't this constant arms race of trying to poach. And so if you're able to do it in your vertical or your space you work, I even try to do it in my business now, right? Hire more junior software developers, not just the senior people that everyone else is trying to poach. Yeah. Always be trying to upskill your talent. And there's this phrase that people have used, which is hire for where the curve they're growing is, their growth trajectory. Don't just hire for where they're at right now. And so oftentimes, it's really useful to kind of skate in front of the puck of where you want to go to hire people and take the time to skill people up. But it's a long process that has risk. And that goes back to thinking about your hiring processes and that interview process and structure.
I have a strong belief that the root of the hiring issue for contractors is they only try to hire when they need people, right? It's like marketing, right? Like you both know marketing well. If you're only running ads or doing some sort of marketing or content creation, whether when you need the work, you know, you're going to settle for scraps, right? You're not really building your brand. Well, building your brand is the same thing with building for leads and sales is the same for building your team, right? There's so many good people that are out there that would be a great fit for your company. They just don't know you exist because you haven't been focused on building your brand. You don't have a careers page in your website. You're not taking some sort of action on a regular basis year round.
Right. Consistent input
to be a recruiter, right? to be a recruiter. And the analogy I always use, man, is, you know, like you look at a college football program, they got full-time people traveling the country out there every day. You know, recruiting is a thing that you have to do all the time, not just when you go, I need some people next week.
Yeah.
And I love your approach on, I've had more success hiring people with the right character and trajectory as you shared, than I have hiring people that have all this amazing skill right out of the gate.
Who they are right now today.
Grow with you. Yeah.
That piece though of consistency, that's so true, not only in hiring, but in every piece of your business. You alluded to marketing, sales, operations, right? Breaking up the work into what you can do this week and every week, instead of just like stressing and doing it when you need it, makes a big difference in your business.
Yeah. And I guess last thing on this, we'll dig into Hoist here is, you know, those that are listening, really sit down and create what your non-negotiables are that you expect in your employees. You know, what types of human beings. So one example I'll give is I like people on our team that are competitive, you know, that want to win. I like people who have a history. It doesn't have to be in this industry, but they can point to experiences or accomplishments in their lives where they accomplished something that took some consistency and discipline and them getting uncomfortable and kind of paying a price for it, if that makes sense. And so a lot of our interview questions and things like that are based around identifying people who know what it takes, you know, to set a goal and work every day to achieve the goal. And stuff. It could be sports. And I got this, man, from somebody told me many years ago, Google used to have these interns sit down and go through all these resumes with a highlighter. And all they looked for, they didn't look at college and all that other shit. The first thing they looked for to get to the second review of their resumes was extreme accomplishment. Like this guy was a junior's judo champion, right? Okay. That says this person knows how to put in some work,
right?
Maybe they were raised by a single mom and they worked full time, you know, got out of college with no debt and helped support their family and,
that
you know,
grit,
got their degree,
that consistency.
Right? That grit, right? Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And so I encourage people to kind of look for those things first, because the skills of the trade, you know, painting or whatever can certainly be taught. So
yeah, that's what we
good stuff, man. So the hell is Joist?
Yeah. We're Hoist. No, you're good. We're basically an app. And we're backed by services that are an extension of your team. So our mission and vision is to make entrepreneurs successful. And so we're focused on home services, residential painting. And so we offer a lot of the same benefits of a franchise, but for 1/10 the cost. So in terms of what the app does, it's got a CRM, payments, websites, lead aggregation. We even have async training that you go through. It's about 30 hours of training. And then we have services that fully integrate to it. So we have marketing services that integrate. And we have a call center that fully is in your schedule, that is working your leads, qualifying them, and scheduling them into your calendar. And that's all combined. We have some incredible business coaches on staff as well who do augment all of that to make sure that you're successful.
How long you been in business?
We've been in business about 3 years now.
Okay. So this is kind of a plug and play back end.
Yep. Okay. Very much in the same kind of space as a franchise or business in a box. Yep.
Okay, that's cool. And what made you start it? Like, what was the moment that you said, hey, this is what I'm going
to
do?
Yeah, I alluded to a little bit earlier, but when I jumped from the world of coding to going back into the family service business with my brother, we took that business, we basically doubled it in 2 years flat, and we sold the family business, this generational, three-generation family business. And it was just a very transformative experience to see how much just with a little bit of operations and a little bit of tech, what you can do to a business, right? And it was just an incredible experience, making sure that we had the right backend infrastructure, payment collection, and the right lead generation and qualification engine to just continue to grow the business, and realizing how much opportunity there is in home services, because there's so much downtime in many back offices. So we paid 2 back office staff that were always there to answer the phones, but the phones were only busy, you know, certain times and hours of the day and of the month and of the year. And so that was where this initial kind of idea of the strength of a national tech company brand with that in-house back office, but with the absolute touch and true ownership of a family-owned business, home service business that you're running, right? We're trying to take the best parts of what a real classic, just blood and sweat home services business would be. We're trying to combine that with the best of what the gig economy and technology has given us. Yeah. And we're trying to get that to the right place so you truly own your own business. You're not stuck with me. There's no crazy 10-year contracts or insane like ongoing rev share for the life of the business. Mm-hmm. It's just like giving you the right tools and services and consolidating in one package.
So who's not a fit for this?
Yeah, if you aren't struggling on either A, how to start your business or on how to grow your business, we're not a fit for you. Do what you're doing. It's working for you, right? Mm-hmm. The best person who is a fit for this is the person who is looking to get into home services. Maybe you've got a little bit of the skills, you've worked on a crew, but you know what? You're just like, I don't know if I have the business competency. I don't know if I can string together the right marketing plan. I don't know that I can get leads. But if you're thinking to yourself, I know how to paint houses. I don't know how to close jobs. I don't know how to get leads. I don't know how to run the business. We're absolutely the perfect fit for you, right? Right now, we only do painting, so that's all we do. But if you're out there, you're already crushing it. You know how to sell. You know how to generate leads. You know how to run your business and run the operations. We're not for you, right? It's mm-hmm. more about people who'd be considering a franchise.
Gotcha. That's interesting. I like that. So we didn't touch specifically on this, and I don't know if it varies based on if you have different levels of what you do or whatever. What if somebody's listening to this, they're like, yeah, I'm thinking about going off on my own, starting my own painting business. What's something like this going to cost them?
Yeah. You know, for me, I am a quarterly subscription fee. So that's it. So you're looking at basically $2,500 a quarter, 10 grand a year. And that's what I cost up front. Mm-hmm. We also take a chunk of your revenue, right? So we take a percentage of your revenue as well. So there's that overhead, which is that base subscription fee, and then based on revenue. But we're only once a quarter. So if you go with us a quarter and it's not working out for you, you can just move on. So it's not like there's any crazy kind of long-term commitments. And so you're looking at roughly about 10K a year and 10% of your business. But for that, you get a full, you know, back office. We cover your phone 7 days a week. Mm-hmm. You get all of the infrastructure. You get unlimited coaching and training from us. If you look at a franchise, you know, you're going to pay six figures. It's crazy. And the rev shares are even higher than what we've got.
Yep. Well, and then they have a lot of rules too, right?
Yeah.
You can't do certain things in marketing.
Yeah, you don't own your own business. You don't even own your own local brand. It's crazy to me. I couldn't imagine doing something like that.
Yeah, we've got a lot of people that have come from the franchise world and into the fight and kind of rebranded and done their own thing and gotten out of that because they got to a point where, and I'm not anti-franchise.
I'm not either.
One of the things I've heard for 15 years from people that are in franchises, and this is certainly not everybody. So those that are listening, I don't mean to be everybody here, but the number of people I've talked to is they feel like after 2 to 3, maybe 4 years of being in the franchise, they kind of have figured it out.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And they feel like the ongoing nut that they're being charged isn't worth,
right?
You know,
makes sense.
The value they're getting on the back end of it.
Which is, you know, for us, we're super focused on only companies doing under $500,000 a year. And I say all the time, like, I'm great with people outgrowing me. I've already had a couple owners with me. They've been on a year or two and they've now got the systems under wrap. And like, they're like, you know what? I can do this on my own now. I got my feet up. Great. I'm building a business that works for that for me. Because my goal is more people owning their own business, right? I've had that privilege and it's an incredible privilege to be able to have a home service business like this. And I want more people to have that same kind of privilege and control of their own destiny. And there's just so much demand out there, as you're all probably very well aware. Mm-hmm. So creating some more supply for people to provide these services is huge.
Yeah, it's and there's a lot of hungry people out there that just don't know what the next step is, right?
Yeah.
And so this is a good resource, man. So if somebody's listening to this, they want to check it out, where do they find you, man?
withhoist.com, withhoist.com. My email is john@hoistup.com, hoistup.com, if you want to talk to me directly.
Good stuff, man. Well, dude, I appreciate you taking some time to hang with us here today and sharing this resource. And I look forward to watching you continue to crush it and help a ton of people get their businesses going, man.
Absolutely. I appreciate your time. Thanks so much.
You got it.